Hi there, it's Hope Joyner. I'm doing my final on My American Place. So My American Place is Passion City Church. Passion City Church is a church located in Atlanta at 515 Garson Drive. So I chose this because, well, one, I've been attending Passion City Church for over a year, and I've been serving on Sundays as a door holder in the kids department for 6 months. I just thought it would be important to mention my role at Passion City Church as that pertains to why I chose it. So I chose Passion City Church because I feel like it breaks a lot of misconceptions of the church. So when you pull into the Passion City parking lot, you're greeted by a parking team. And something I love about this is men, this is women, this is people from all different races, age groups. It's awesome. And so you're greeted with this before you're even at the door. And then you walk into the church, and it's just, these people are so inviting and loving, and it's so kind. And you look around, and there are people who greet you who are teenagers or in middle school. And then you have people in their 90s greeting you. You have people from all different cultures and backgrounds, and even just from all over the world. And it's just this beautiful mix of so many people. And so when you pull into the Passion City parking lot, first you're greeted by the parking team, and they help you park and keep the hectic craziness a little bit less crazy. But then you look at this very boxy, modern white building. So Passion City Church is has a very modern look to it, a very modern tone to it. And it's just this beautiful, crisp, white church that they have to power wash on a regular basis to keep it so pretty. And then there is a big 515 in orange at the top of the building that you notice. And so that's because it's at 515 Garson Drive. And it also references a Bible verse that is 515. So you walk into these really tall glass doors, and you're in Passion, and the ceilings are 30 feet high, if not higher. It's a very open space. It's absolutely gigantic inside, with a concrete floor and then white walls. So again, a very modern look to it. There's a security desk at the front, and there's always a police officer, security guard, who is there at all times, anytime the church is open, which is really nice. They're usually very kind. But then you start walking down this really big open hallway, and there's all these different murals. And these gigantic pieces of art are just always so beautiful. And that's something that Passion really emphasizes, is art within the building, which I love. And these murals are changed on a really regular basis, and it takes hours and hours and days on end to create each one. But they're always so beautiful. Usually you have a lot of people taking pictures in front of them. Passion City is a very like hustling, bustling place with just a lot of people all over. And so you walk through this giant hall into just a more open space where people gather around and wait for the doors to the sanctuary to be opened. So there's some seating. The space changes a little bit every now and then. And so sometimes there will be couches in different places, or different pieces of art, or right this past week when I went, there was this huge sculpture hanging from the ceiling that was really cool, really beautiful. And then there's a library bookstore in this open area where people can go and get resources that Passion provides. And on either side of the walk area, there's the kids department. And so the only people who are allowed in the kids department are people who serve in the kids department, the kids and their parents. And they're all greeted by security at the door, and they have to have the certain color wristband just to be let in, which I find to be very interesting, but also kind of sad that we have to go through so many security measures. But I'm very thankful that Passion does really emphasize the safety of everyone in the building. So there are greeters, just like there's a parking team, there's just greeters located throughout the space. They open the doors for you, they ask how you're doing, they're very kind. It's such a positive environment.
with just a ton of people all over the place. And you go into the sanctuary, and the sanctuary is basically like a huge auditorium. The stage has these different backgrounds that are made of lights, and it's very like graphics. It's very elaborate, very beautiful. There's elevated seating because thousands of people attend Passion every single weekend. And so there has to be, they have to optimize the space as much as they can. So that's what Passion City looks like. Again, very modern, very clean, and well-kept. And I just thought it was important to paint this picture of my American place. And so now that we've gotten that out of the way, I wanted to talk about the history of Passion City Church. Okay, so Passion City Church was started as a small Bible study that was ran by Louis and Shelley Giglio. This was over 20 years ago in the 90s, and then this small group slowly started to form, and ideas were just thrown around, and then Passion Movement started. So my source for this portion of the project is the Passion website. They provide their own, like, a history of Passion City Church, which I just find to be very helpful, and who better to tell you about the history of a place than the place itself? So, like I said, Passion City started as a Bible study led by Louis and Shelley Giglio over 20 years ago. The first official meeting of Passion City Church happened on February 15th of 2009 at the Tabernacle. And so that's a really well-known concert venue in Atlanta. And so this group of attendants traveled and met every week just all over different places of Atlanta until 515 Garson Drive was built. And so that's the main campus of Passion City Church. There's a location at North Atlanta High School right now. It's called the Cumberland location. So that's in Atlanta. And currently there's a permanent Cumberland location being built in North Atlanta. And there's also a location in Washington, D.C. that meets every single week. And so they usually meet at a theater in Washington. So they don't have a permanent place yet, but thousands of people come in and out of Passion City's doors every single week. And so Passion itself started as a gathering of college students between 18 and 25, known as the Passion Movement, or Passion Conference. And Passion Conference started in 1997. The conference was originally called Choice Ministries. And since its start in 1997, the Passion Conference has grown, and now we have Passion 2020 coming up on December 31st to January 2nd at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and there will be over 50,000 college students who will be attending. So in Passion Conference past, over 1,600 universities have been represented, and that number has grown. And there have been thousands of volunteers, so people who are not in the 18 to 25 range can volunteer as a door holder. And there were over 2,500 volunteers at the 2017 Passion Gathering. So at the Passion 2017 conference, there were young adults, people ages 18 to 25, from more than 90 nations represented at the one gathering. And Passion City has grown, and Passion Conference has grown every single year. And again, in 2020, it will be at one location at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium with over 50,000 college students in the one place. And so I think it's important to go into the different branches of Passion. So Passion is more than just a church that meets on Sundays. Passion has something that's called Six Step Records, and that is Passion's recording label. And so a lot of different artists come in and record, and we have Passion Music, and that's the Passion City Church band. So their albums are released through Six Step Records. But we also have a Passion Publishing firm, and so there are a lot of different Passion resources. Louis Giglio has authored several books. There are several different members of Passion Church and pastors who have made their own books and that have gone through the Passion Publishing firm, as well as something called the Jesus Bible. And so it's a Bible available in NIV, the NIV is a translation of the Christian Bible, but the Jesus Bible is also available in ESV, which is just another translation, and a few other translations, as well as in many different languages, which is just very cool, very interesting. So then there is something called The Grove, and The Grove is a branch of Passion meant just for women. And The Grove meets about once a month on Monday nights, and hundreds and thousands of women come to, not hundreds of thousands, hundreds or thousands of women come to The Grove when it meets every month. It's a very empowering movement that they have, and women from all over Atlanta and from different churches come to The Grove just to come together as women. And then we have Passion Conference, which I already talked about, but there's just a lot of different branches of Passion besides just the Sunday church. So now I'm going to go into who makes up Passion City Church. So the first person who I thought of was Louis Giglio. So Louis Giglio is the pastor of Passion City Church. He is, according to Right Now Media, so they did an interview of Louis Giglio and a biography about him. So that's going to be the source for this portion. So Right Now Media talks about how Louis is the author of multiple books. So his most recent was a children's devotional all about science and God. Other books that he has authored are called Not Forsaken, Goliath Must Fall, The Comeback, etc. Louis Giglio is married to Shelley Giglio. They live in Atlanta, but a big part of Louis' job is he is called to other churches, colleges. He's met with many like state and government officials all over the world. He has spoken to millions of people. He gets called into different conferences besides just Passion Conference and goes and he speaks to them. And Louis is the main pastor of Passion City Church. He's the man who started Passion City Church along with his wife Shelley. And they are the heads of Passion and all of the branches of Passion they are at the head of. So someone else who I felt I wanted to talk about when it comes to who makes up Passion City Church is a man by the name of Christian Stanfill. So Christian Stanfill is one of Passion City's worship leaders, and there was an interview done with him through Six Step Records. And in this interview, I just found it really interesting the way that Christian Stanfill talked about himself as well as himself as a part of Passion. So again, Christian is a worship leader. He gets up in front of Passion and sings and plays the guitar. He writes songs with the Passion music band. And he is, just like Louis, travels around the world and performs at stadiums, churches, and colleges all over the world. And in this interview, Christian described himself as first a Jesus follower, a pastor, a worship leader, a husband, and a father. And I just found it really interesting the fact that he, his priorities or the words that he used first, and all of these are very in line with Passion City. And one thing that Christian talked about, and this is what stood out to me, was when Passion Music, or when Christian Stanfill releases any music, on every album, every single, every record, it always says Passion Music featuring Christian Stanfill, or Passion Music and Christian Stanfill. And he said that Passion is, that he loves that he leads with Passion City and the band featuring Christian Stanfill. And I just thought that that was a really interesting way to see the way that he described himself. And as someone who performs all over the world, just to see his humble nature was very indicative of the type of leaders Passion has. Since a lot of times you see, even with just musicians and Christian musicians, they become a little bit on the prideful side, and this just showed that that is not Christian Stanfill, and that's not Passion. And then who makes up Passion City? Well, it's not just the people who are in big leadership positions. So I conducted an interview with a woman named Gracie Dean. And Gracie serves as a door holder at Passion Kids every Sunday.
And so I just asked her two questions. I wasn't able to record her because I was in the Passion Kids environment. And I just wrote down word for word. First, I asked how she describes herself. And she said, bubbly, caring, and quirky. And this was very accurate and just shows that all the different kinds of characters Passion has. And then I asked her her opinion on Passion as an American place or how she thinks it represents America. And she said in a quote, I think Passion represents America because of the way it cares about everyone. And I love this idea of caring about everyone and that Passion does that. And I do think Passion does a great job of that. Again, why I chose it to be my American place. But to see this idealistic view of not only Passion, but also America. Because I think a lot of times we feel that America does not necessarily care about people. And I think that this statement of Passion represents America because of the way it cares about everyone can be used to examine idealism within America. And just this is almost rose-colored glasses type of thinking. So now I'm going to move on to what Passion is involved in. So something that I think is really important to examine when it comes to Passion and it being my American place is what it's involved in. And so Passion has several different branches, but different movements that it's a part of. And so the first one I want to talk about is Love Atlanta. And the source for this is the Love Atlanta website. So Passion partners with multiple organizations and sends members into Atlanta to help with projects at these organizations. So members of the church spend what it's called Love Atlanta Week. And throughout every single day, there are multiple projects going on throughout Atlanta that help different ministries or nonprofits. And a lot of these places that people are going, they don't have a religious tie or like a Christian background as an organization. So it's not just Christian ministries. And I think that's really interesting that Passion City, the church, is sponsoring with places that are not just Christian. And I really appreciate that as just within the church. And not only are they sending people to these places, but they financially support many of these organizations throughout the entirety of the year. And another thing that Passion does is they partner with what's called End It Movement, and that's an anti-human trafficking organization. And so Passion really spends a lot of time doing things for the End It Movement. And so it's putting an end to modern day slavery. And at Passion Conference, so the conference full of the college age students, they always raise, give money to the End It Movement. And in the past few years, according to the AJC article, Passion Conference has raised more than $8 million at the conference alone to fight modern day slavery through the End It Movement. And I think it's so important to see, to know the entirety of Passion is to look at where the money goes. And not only does Passion do this. So one thing that Passion City does is called Christmas Smile. And so what Passion does is they partner with the Atlanta Public Schools to sponsor kids to be sent home with a book. And one thing that Passion has been talked about and emphasized is the importance of literacy. And they say that there's no better way to help a young student with their future than put a book into their hands. And so they put age-appropriate kids' books into the hands of schools and have done this for multiple years now. And these books are not Christian books. It's not any agenda, but it's just to have the best Atlanta possible. Passion thinks that that involves educating the youth. And that's just something that Passion really stands firmly on. And so, again, I really think it's important to see where the money is going in order to get the best idea of the organization or the American place. Now, with the finances, I did a deep dive and found the financial records of Passion City Church. And this was done by Brannon Wyndham Certified Public Accountants for the financial end of the year report for Passion City Church. And so it's called the Independent Accountants Compilation Report. And it's a combined statement of assets, liabilities, and net assessments on a modified cash basis. So this is done yearly. And I thought it was really interesting because I wanted to see if I could figure out Passion's giving. And I know a big misconception with churches is that they're very greedy and they just want your money. And I was genuinely curious to see if maybe this could be true within Passion City Church. And so something I found was Passion City Church gives over, hold on one second. Okay, it gives contributions without donor restrictions of $22 million a year. And that blew my mind. And so at the end of the year, the net assets are $28 million. So Passion's giving away about half of what it's getting. And I just thought that was really interesting. And something that I found to be helpful when it does goes to this American place. And when it comes to pattern breaking, I feel that if there's a pattern of churches being greedy, that Passion City is not taking part in that. And so now I want to talk about the course tie-in. And so for the course tie-in, I really thought race was my go-to. And looking at the course and how race has been defined as a way of sorting people and prejudice, I looked through a lot of the old course materials and found from the W.E.B. Du Bois Tragedy of Atlanta speech where he said, and I'm quoting him directly right here, "No community can hope to be peaceful if it makes a third or half of its population helpless, defenseless, and ignorant, and leaves it naked to the worst elements of the city who form its industrial rivals." So this quote really had to think about and reread, and I just had to look at some of the things that Passion City Church does as a way to provide hope for this community, in the sense of the Love Atlanta, the way that Passion City puts books into the hands of students so that they can be educated, so that they're not ignorant, the way that Passion City works with a lot of ministries to combat homelessness and has a very close partnership with the End It movement. And I just had to sit here and wonder, what would Du Bois think of this? And if he could see this today and see that not only Passion City Church, but that there are a lot of organizations and places all over the nation and the world who are fighting the good fight and trying to clothe its population and educate and help the people who have been cast aside. And that's how I think Passion City ties into race, is because it is providing hope, or at least taking the steps to. And not only this, but race is something that is openly talked about at Passion City Church. And it's something that it can be almost a taboo subject, or a subject to be avoided because it's scary and people are really sensitive about it, as they should be. And Passion is not colorblind. Because I know that if you don't see color, you don't see the whole person. But there have been times in sermons given at Passion City Church on Sundays where they've said and discussed
about race and about the violence against African Americans. And I think it's really important that that is addressed, because like Du Bois said, we don't need to be ignorant and we don't need to leave people defenseless. And I think that Passion City is doing a good job about that. Okay. And so another tie-in is, for my keyword project, I did religion. And so my keyword project was about religious oppression after 9/11 for many Muslims. And I am taking a different approach to it this time around. And I want to talk about religion in the church and in America. And so from our keywords reading in the religion chapter or article, Jacobson, and I could be saying his name wrong and I apologize if I am, but Jacobson writes, "The concept of religion draws together a wide range of practices across cultures that may not have in common with one another." And so the idea of drawing people together from different cultures that may not have anything in common, being a part of religion and something that organizations need to do, I felt that Passion does a good job of this by having such a diverse community within the church itself. And I feel that the job of the church, and something that Passion, again, is doing really well, is to fight for the oppressed. And that's what churches are meant to do, not to oppress, not to use their religion as a way to oppress others, but to use their religion as a way to bring people out of oppression. And you look at the End It movement and the things that it does internationally, saves men, women, children from being sex trafficked, modern day slavery of any kind, working at sweatshops. And that's taking people who are being oppressed out of oppression and trying to give them the best life and the best hand possible. And so I felt that religion, I mean, it ties in perfectly with church, but I think it goes so much further than that. And I want to talk about the way that I feel Passion breaks a pattern. And so from the Passion Conference, where 50,000 college-age students get together to worship, and this year, Passion is doing something really cool to bring in the new decade. So Passion Conference will start December 31st at night, and we'll go into the new decade together, and that breaks the misconception of all young people want to do is party, when this is, it could be classified as a party, but not the typical drinking and maybe drugs. But Passion breaks the pattern of the labels and the stereotypes that are put on people just of all different ages, and that's one thing that Passion does. But they also sponsor nonprofits. Again, the End It movement, Love Atlanta. There's so much giving that occurs within Passion, and not just giving of the finances, which is important, but what could arguably be more important is giving time. And they, members of the church, spend a lot of time at these different nonprofits and organizations that are helping others. And so one thing, the Grove, which is the women's ministries, they actually go into, the women, the leaders of the Grove, go into prisons with female inmates and just love on them and teach them about Jesus, but also give them care packages. And that's something that has been so valuable. And it's not like these women aren't gaining anything financially, but they're gaining a lot by being seen. And I think that Passion really just breaks that pattern of churches being selfish. And so another thing that I think breaks the pattern is a lot of Passion leadership and the people who are on the board at Passion are not in ministry. So a lot of them are, because it's a church, but there are business leaders, there are government officials, famous athletes such as Tim Tebow call Passion home. And you see this, and you see these are the people who are behind a lot of the decisions that occur at Passion City Church. And it's not just people in ministry, and Passion really does a great job of celebrating people from different job areas, and so not just pastors, which they do a good job of celebrating that, but they celebrate people who are just doing good things in the community and in their fields. And so another way Passion breaks the pattern is there are young adults, YoPros, and college students who stand besides 80 years old, and there are people from all over the world and from all different races and backgrounds, and even people who aren't Christian call Passion a place that they go, or maybe call Passion home. And that's a big reason why I chose Passion to be the American place, is because of this beautiful diversity that represents an ideal of America. And so something else I found before I close really interesting was an application for other business zoning from the Cobb County Zoning Division. And like I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, there is a building being made for the second Passion Atlanta, or the Cumberland location. And so I found this 20 plus page government document from the zoning, the Cobb County Zoning Division, and it has building plans, the official minutes from meetings going back to the 90s of Passion zoning hearings, and even like meetings from 2018. And you can see the construction and road improvement proposals, the environmental impact promises from Passion and the construction agency they hired to the Cobb County, on the things that they would do, the rules that they would follow, the things that they would not have at Passion City. And I just thought that was so interesting to see the way that these government meetings work within, like, with Passion City. And I just found this whole document to be very, like, eye-opening and very interesting. And to see the history from all the way back from the 90s to now, and the fact that this Cumberland location is currently being built right now, and it's gone through and it's been gotten the proper zoning, that blew me away. I found it to be so interesting, and to be able to kind of look, I almost felt like I was in on a secret, like I was looking behind the scenes in a way that I didn't know that I was even possible. Like, I didn't know I'd be able to find these government documents just on my laptop. And I found this whole project honestly to be really interesting. And I think something it taught me is there's so much more to a single American place than what meets the eye. And I've learned through this project so much more about Passion City Church that I've been attending for over a year. And there are things that I probably would have never known about without doing this project. And not only did I find out a lot about Passion, I found out a lot about Atlanta and honestly America as a whole, and the way that it works, and in some ways the way it doesn't always work. And I just found this to be really interesting and eye-opening. And so I'm just going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you learned more about Passion City Church, but also just America as a whole, and that I made a good argument for why Passion City is my American place. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.